Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' love. That song, I'm sorry, I just spoke to me. There's so many things in that song. It's the reason that we're here. All of its pleasures, pomp, and pride give me but Jesus. And then that last verse, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. I hope that can be our desire and our commitment. I had chose to read out of Luke chapter 7, verse 36 and 50. That song kind of goes along with what I was thinking about. The last bit, the source of our love, this is a couple different things in here that I just wanted to point out that I had was going over earlier and I thought I'd just share. Luke chapter 7, I'll start reading at verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debts. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I have came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgaveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Something I just thought that was kind of interesting. I read this and I had a kind of puzzled. I'd like in verse 38, think about this. This woman stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet. So I was like, how in the world, how is going to stand behind this Jesus? And but I think I was reading out of the New King James, and there it says it was sitting at a table, which no other translations, I'm not sure that they put it that way, but I would think that this is more of probably lying, somewhat lying down in position or kneeling or whatever, his feet were behind him. I just thought it was kind of interesting. I just didn't really notice it before. But anyway, it's not really what I had to talk about. In verse 41 to 43, it's talking about these two debtors that he have, this guy had, and more love for the one who had most forgiven, and he mentioned it in here. He asked that question, and he said the one that had the most to forgive. And why is that? Is the lack of thinking we don't have that much to be forgiven the reason that I don't have the love and indebtedness to Jesus that I should? It's just a question that I had to think about, because sometimes if I think about, you know, if we had a list of all the things that we did in our life that we know that we need to be forgiven, I know that I would have a huge long list. And, you know, if we can get that in perspective of really what Jesus did do for us, it just puts a different perspective on our life. I think the devil wants us to think we really weren't that bad so that we can be like this one that really didn't have that much to be forgiven. But we have to remember that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it says in Romans 3:23. And also that Jesus loved us so much that he died on the cross for me. You could say, oh, big deal. But you know what? It is a big deal. But it's how we make it in our lives that we just think that wasn't really that much that we did. We weren't that bad. We didn't, it's like, Jesus didn't really do that much for me. You know, if we feel that way, I think we're not going to have that love for Jesus that we should. Think it's easy to think that, or even to think that was in the past. Maybe I got it all together now and don't really need Jesus that much. But maybe we think that, you know, but look at others and it's like, you know, now they're the ones that need forgiven. But that's where I think that we need to go back and just, I know for me it's pretty, I can be pretty forgetful of the things that Jesus forgave me for, and that Jesus can remind me of the forgiveness that he has given me. The part that I wanted to bring out too is the love here in John 13:34-35 talks about, it says there's a new commandment, I'm just paraphrasing this, it's a new commandment I give you, love others as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. We have that commandment that we are to love one another. And then in the, down to 44, to the end more, Jesus talks about this woman's love for him and all these things that she did. There in 47, she loved much, is what he said on there. She recognized that she was a sinner and loved Jesus because she had faith he could forgive her, and he did. That was interesting there. I mean, here she was, is that she actually came to him. Jesus didn't even do anything. Didn't really say anything to her before, whatever, but she recognized something in him that he could forgive her, and she claimed that. And then I had to think, is this really where true love comes from? And I think it is, but by us recognizing our frailty and hopelessness with Jesus, without Jesus, we can come to Jesus and receive his love, which we in turn have to give to others. And then it's love as Christ did and as this woman did. There was something that I had read earlier, in a devotional, the thing that that spoke out, touched me on, there was 5 points that it said we care as Jesus did, and it lists these 5 things. And it puts a different perspective on love. I think it's if we can really have this meaning of love, because I think this is what Jesus practiced, and he did it in here too. So first one is, we care as Jesus did when we have an unconditional positive regard for every person we meet, that we don't call somebody hopeless. Number two is we care as Jesus did when we stop evaluating others' worth. And here again, it goes to the point of that we're all in the same playing field. We're all unworthy, but Jesus died for us. And so for us looking at somebody else and thinking that they need more than what we do, that's not what love is. That's not the kind of love that we're talking about. We care as Christ did when we are not possessive. And Jesus illustrated that here, that Christ released the sinners. He healed and saved. And he said in there, he told the lady in that last verse, he says, go in peace. You know, and that possession thing is, you know, times when I will do something so maybe we'll get something in return or whatever. But it's a love that's not possessive. We care as Christ did when we demand no personal glory. There again, not doing something for our own good with ourself in mind. And the last one is we care as Christ did when we love people right where they are. You know, the Pharisees here, they knew, everybody knew this lady was a sinner, and but Jesus loved her and cared for her. He forgave her for her sins, he loved them right where they were. And there was lots of verses that I could have read and things that talk about that, just the love. But it's just something that I guess I've been thinking about is that. You know, we need each other, that we would have a love for each other. It's just part of it, and Jesus commands us to love one another. But I don't, it's like I was saying here earlier, is that we can't have that love. We can't have the love for others, a true love like Christ wants us to, unless we can really have that love for Christ and recognize the love that he had for us. So that's all I had this far.